And as we come before our God to hear His word once again, may He give you a measure of His grace and His mercy and His peace. Amen. The word of God we use today is from Joshua in chapter 24, verse 1 and 14 through 18. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Now fear the Lord, and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods that your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God who himself brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. So we too will serve the Lord because He is our God." That will be the text. Well, my friends, perhaps that is, to some of you, maybe a strange text to choose as we speak to you our so-called farewell sermon. And yet that is what I have chosen. And as you can imagine, through these last months, and especially the last week and days, I have been looking at things a little bit differently and counting the last times that I am doing certain things, or the last time I will see a certain face, probably, or the last time I will go to a certain area and perhaps see it no more. And so I stand before you today also for the last time as your pastor here, and you are sitting here for the last time ready to hear your pastor. As we begin, we want to do a little bit in keeping with, of course, the theme of the day. This is the second to last Sunday in the church year, we said. And I hope that you heard, got the feeling for not only the sermon text, but also the gospel text given today. As we hear them, we are pointed certainly to the day when the Lord will come back. We are looking toward the end, then, of time. Not only to the end of my being with you, but even more so, to the end of time, the end of days, where the Lord, as I say, will come back. We are pointed also in these last weeks to some of the circumstances of these last days. I looked at last week's gospel, and certainly Mark 13 gives us just one indication of those signs. It says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in certain places, and there will be famines, and yet this is but the beginning of the birth pains," St. Mark says. And then with each of these texts, as you heard especially from Joshua this morning that I read to you, we also hear then, along with thinking toward the end, of the admonitions in God's Word, the gracious admonitions given by our Lord that come forth out of these texts. And so that we once again have to sit here today, as we do really every Sunday, and make our choice. That's what Joshua was looking for among his people, that they would make their choice either to stand with the Lord or, on the other hand, to serve other gods. Here again, his words. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness, and throw away the gods of your forefathers that they worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." And then he says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." And again he says, "Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living." But then he says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, as they say, to incorporate these words into our understanding. The Lord is certainly calling all his disciples to a period, as we look toward the end, of preparation. And his words, the Lord's words, whether they be from Joshua of old or from Jesus' mouth as he speaks those other words, they call each of us to our period of preparation as we await his coming back. Now also, part of the text that we had today finally tells us that the people back in Joshua's day certainly made their choice. It's right here. "Then the people answered." After Joshua had put before them the choice, "Then the people answered," it says, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. So we too," they finally say, "will serve the Lord because he is our God." Well, again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to hear what's coming, does it? Indeed, the Lord has also, I might say to you today, in my last sermon to you, he has similarly brought us out of the land of slavery to sin and to Satan. We say we are God's people, and we are. We are those who rejoice as the redeemed ones. And if we are tuned in, we tune in also to what this text says in our time. Indeed, he has performed, has he not, great signs before our eyes. As we look back over the years, he has protected us as God's people and on each of our journeys through life. And he has driven out the evil trappings that beset each one of us. What a God we have, huh? What a wonderful God. And so as we move on, what's our choice going to be? That's what's brought before us today. What's our choice going to be? Will we say with the people of old, "We too will serve the Lord because he is our God"? Well, what can I say but that this is what I have taught you. This is what I have spoken from God's Word. Every Sunday I have stood before you in this pulpit, which now I will vacate, and I have told you about a God who is good. I've told you about a God who is great, a God who has, in fact, in his Son, Jesus Christ, done some very marvelous deeds, and especially the deed to make you his own, to take you into his family, to baptize you, and now the God who keeps us all, you and me, though we be in different places, in his grace as we hang on to it. Again, I say to you, we have a wonderful God that we have shared all these years. And we continue to have that wonderful God, a God and a Father who has performed every day of our lives, even though we don't realize it, every day to bring you and me good and to show us the ways that we are to walk in. And we all know that God's ways are blessing. God's ways are good. So I have stood before you, have I not? As the prophets long ago, in the spirit of Joshua, I would say, I have led you to understand, or at least I have tried to lead you to understand, the law and what it is and its impact upon our lives, and the gospel, the precious gospel, and its purpose. Just this last week, we spoke with the kids once more, and we've always told them a short little gimmick for understanding the purpose of the law and the purpose of the gospel. They can each be described as S-O-S. What does the law do? It shows our sins. I see you forming it with your mouths, a few of you. Some of you remember. And the gospel, S-O-S, also shows our Savior. They are really two quite different things, and yet Luther told us we have to understand, we have to take to ourselves the impact of the law. We need to see who we really are before God. And the need, then, for the precious gospel that we have portrayed to you and pictured to you many times through the years. I have taught you salvation by grace out of God's Holy Scripture. I have told you that indeed it is by grace. It's not a do-it-yourself religion we have here. It's not where God does His part and then we have to do our part as part of the process. It's entirely His, isn't it? It's by grace that we have been saved through faith. And how's it going? That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works in any way, lest any man should boast. Indeed, we don't qualify for salvation. Even that's wrong. Because none of us could stand it. It's what the law says. It's what the law does. The law kills us. You don't like to hear that, but that's what it does. And it shows us that we have to come as beggars before God. And that God is there as we point to Him. And He's there with His precious life and His gospel to come to us and to act for our behalf through His living and through His dying. I have taught you all those things as God's representative here. And more. And more. And why? That's a pretty big question, isn't it? Why have I done that? Because, folks, frankly, as I look out over the sea of faces today, I say to you, I do it and I did it because I want to see you in heaven with me. I've said that to a few people along the road now here, and especially, I tell you, this last couple of weeks, we visited all the shut-ins. And I made a real effort to do that because I knew for some of those older people, indeed, I would never see them again on this earth. And so I gave them each a hug. And I tried to say it right in their ear. You know, if I don't see you again here, I'm going to see you in heaven. Well, that's what I tell you today. I really say the same thing to you. I really say many of the things you already know, the verses that we have given out. I say to you, folks, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That's what our Lord wants us to do. That's what I want you to do. That's what I've led you to do in all of these words and all of these Sundays. Be full of faith. I hope you know what that means. Be full of faith in your Savior, Jesus. And why? To get to heaven. And that's the only way, isn't it? Jesus says, I am the way. Doesn't say there's A, B, C, D to do, or there's some other way. He says, I am the way. We've heard that, and the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except what? Except through me. That's what Jesus says. And I've done this many times too, haven't I? I pointed to the way. I pointed to the cross. Somebody reminded me of that and said this last week. Said, you know, you often pointed to the cross as you spoke, and that's exactly where you should point. And yes, we've tried to do that. I've shown that indeed the way to the Father is not this way or that way. It's through the cross. It's through Christ alone. He's done everything, folks, hasn't he? He's done everything necessary to gain our entrance to heaven. And we can't add anything to it. We can't take away anything from it. We can't qualify for it, as I said. He has done it all. I point to the cross again. Hang on to him. I guess those are my last words. Hang on to the promise. You know the promise that comes to us, John 3:16, God so loved the world that what? That he gave his only begotten Son. You can say it with me. And so that no man perishes, but everyone who believes is taken to be with him. The same God who calls us sheep, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, he says, and they follow me. They follow me, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish, he promises. They shall never perish. And no man shall pluck them out of my hand. That's what it's all about. That's why I have stood here these many Sundays. And this is why I wanted you to hear these words and the words today. I want you to turn to the Savior. Turn to the cross. Constantly keep your eyes, as your bulletin says today, on Jesus. On Jesus. Don't take them off, because once it happens, nothing will take place spiritually in your lives. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. As we come to the end also of kind of an era, as I meet with you this last time and preach to you from this pulpit, I'm reminded along with this theme that perhaps we haven't said something as often as we should. But again, it comes across in these last Sundays, so the last Sundays of the church year, which point to the end of time. And they say to us, you know, we're so caught up in this world, folks, with all the things of this earth and all the possessions and the stuff we have. But you know, we need to say to each other once in a while, this world's not my home. It's not my home. It's not my permanent home. I'm really just passing through. You see, heaven is my home. That's why we preach. That's why we listen. That's why we hang on to our Savior. That's why we hang on to his promise. Because we know this is not it. This isn't anywhere close to what God wants to give us. I'm going to ask you to do something now. I haven't ever asked you to do this before, but I think it's a good practice, and we should do it from time to time to remind each other. I want you to say to somebody near to you and let them say back, this world not my home, I'm just passing through. This world not my home, I'm just passing through. You do it with your neighbor. Something to say, wasn't it? But we don't say it often enough. We don't remind ourselves of the great goal, you see. And it's true. Truer than even we will venture to say with each other. We have a hard time with that. But it's there. This world's not my home. Not really. That's profound, isn't it? That's profound. Because heaven is my home. And it's yours too. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all your understandings keep your hearts and minds in true faith and faithfulness in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.